they have learned other garments. You know, iron weapon. Rather than using iron weapon, they use a rubber weapon. They use God himself appeared to my wife. He told her that he was going to have a child. You might ask yourself, how did you know it was God? The one word that we had set aside as a nation to be used for the coming King, God himself. Secondly, when we were offering a sacrifice to God, the Lord did an amazing thing. He walked into the flame and he disappeared. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt. Visited us and given us. Our son was going to be unique. We knew that God wanted him to be a Nazarite. The word means to be set apart, to be separate. So a Nazarite was one who had dedicated themselves or separated themselves to God. Numbers chapter 6 in your Bible will give you a bit of a description of that Nazarite vow. Let me give you a quick overview. It was a voluntary vow. It was an act of personal, spontaneous commitment to God. It was motivated by love and by faith.
It was purposeful. The purpose of the vow was that a man would have to come from everything else.
Number one, he was to abstain from the fruit of the vine. Number two, he was not to cut his hair. Number three, he was to avoid any contact with a dead body at any time. And you say, what does that mean? Well, you see, in our day, a person touched a dead body, a carcass, they would not be fit to come into the house of God to worship God. So by avoiding contact with the dead, he was making himself, it was becoming possible to stay in fellowship with God all the time. Number four, it was a temporary vow. It did not last a lifetime. Well, our son was going to stand out in the crowd. We knew that. He would have long hair. Everybody would see that, and therefore they would know that this man is set apart for something special with God. He would have a very unique ministry. He was going to begin to deliver us from the curse. You catch what I said? He was going to begin. He's not going to deliver us. He is going to begin the deliverance. You see, the complete deliverance couldn't come about because it's your nose, and I can't get rid of it today. Sorry about that. The complete deliverance couldn't come about because we refused. God intended my son to be a lesson to my people. See, God wanted to confront us with the great truth that we are to be separate from the world around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the story that Manoah has given to us. I thank you for that the story is recorded in your word, and I would like to ask that you would teach us. Thank you that your word is powerful, effective, and we trust in it today. In Jesus' name. Amen. So Manoah has told us a story about his son Samson and his separation from these things in the world and his commitment to God. It's 2019. What is it for us to be separated from the world and dedicated to God? Are we to move off into the bush and start colonies? Are we maybe to get rid of our cars and go back to horse and buggy? Or maybe if we have a car, maybe we can paint it black and that will show our separation? You know, my friends, some of that doesn't seem to fit the biblical picture of separation. The Bible speaks very strongly regarding our relationship to the world. I'd like you to listen to these verses. I'm just going to put my mic on. I think it might be important for us to know what is the world. The world is referring to the whole mass of things and people who are alienated from God. Those who are hostile to God. It's referring to the world affairs. It's referring to earthly goods. It's referring to the pleasures of the world. The advantages that stir up a desire within us that seduce us away from the first love, which is Jesus Christ. It's anything that seduces us away from our first love, Jesus Christ. The world refers to the whole system that is contrary to God. The world refers to the whole system that is contrary to God and His word. Let's explore that. Let me give you a couple of things. First one, separation is positively dedicating ourselves to Jesus. See, the great danger that the Philistines, or the Israelites encountered was that they were becoming more and more like the Philistines and less a people who love God. Is that not a danger we face? To become more and more like the world around us, and less like the same people we have in this place. Samson's separation from the Philistines is purely humility. He vowed not to be born. He vowed not to cut his hair. He vowed not to touch the dead man. He knew the code, but Samson didn't understand the concept. The main point of the Nazarite vow was not separation from something as much as it was separation to someone. He lacked a heart that loved God. His separation was a formal, legalistic one. And unfortunately, today there are Christians who understand their separation in the very same way. They live by a strict code. When asked, are you a separate Christian? Another word we use is, are you sanctified? I say, of course I am. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't own this. I don't go to such and such a place. And I don't hang out with people who do any of those things. My friends, if spirituality, if sanctification is determined by what we don't do, then the person who does nothing is the most spiritual person on earth. You can't do that. God does not call us to live in isolation from others, nor does He expect that we're going to refuse to enjoy our lives from others. The separation is a one-on-one,
to the third person. This is the power of the Holy Spirit.
but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify or separate them in truth. Here it is. Thy word is truth. For us to be separated from the world is to be related to the world in the same way that Jesus Christ was when he walked this earth. He was not separated geographically from people who were against God. Rather, he spent time with them. He ministered to them. As a matter of fact, we'll find over and over again, he deliberately went looking for them. He was always separate from them at the same time. How was he separate from them? He was separate from them in prayer. He never compromised sin nor accepted or died. How does God separate us? He does it by his word, as we just read in John chapter 17. Dedicated Christians. Interesting, the Nazarite vow was a voluntary vow. The Hebrews could choose. Will we live this type of a life or will we not? They do have a choice. We can make that choice. And it's possible for us to live it because we can commit ourselves to loving Jesus Christ more than the world. We can commit ourselves to living a distinctive life, one that is lived according to God's will. It's God's will. What's the chances of him enabling us to do his will? Pretty good. Well, what? What might be this? Maybe it might look something like this. I want you to use your imagination for a few minutes. I want you to imagine your typical young man in high school. One who likes two things most of all: food and girls. In either order. And one day you're standing by your locker in the hallway and the track coach spots you. He takes you by surprise and he strolls purposely towards you, towards your locker, and starts talking to you like the track coach. Say, I've been watching you a lot, young man. You have a bounce to your step. Whether you know it or not, you are a sprinter. And with a little training, you could be setting records in the 100-meter dash. I know it. Come on. Come on, coach. I'm no sprinter. I might win a gold medal in eating or girl watching, but sprinting? You got to be kidding. No, I'm not kidding. And I'll prove it to you without being a trap. You go to practice afternoon. As a matter of fact, you do it every afternoon for weeks. Your first clockings, they're not very impressive at all. But you sense the change of revelation. Maybe the question. In the days that follow, you read biographies of great sprinters. You watch films of great races. You run and run. It hurts so much to run sometimes. Yet, always going deeper is the sense of identity. You are a sprinter. How long you firmly believe that you are a sprinter. If someone walks up to you at Tim Hortons and asks you, who are you? Even before you give them your name, you say, I'm a sprinter. The big meet is this weekend. Are you coming to watch? That is coming. The crowd stirs as you walk to your starting line. Out of nowhere, this beautiful young girl walks straight over to you with a large PCT set up. It's still warm on the oven. Hi, I brought this for you. Just for you. Now comes the decision. You're free to do whatever you want. What will you do? Who are you? Are you a skin wrapped back of the pig foot? If that's who you are, there isn't much question what you're going to do. Or are you aware of something else? identity that's been reinforced by warm relational times with your coach, by focusing on a new set of values. If these things are true, your response to Sweet Sue is going to be automatic and conclusive. On the other hand, if you've missed track practice, you've allowed your mind to focus on things that were important before, you're going to respond in one of two ways. All right, who cares about the race anyway? You're quite the girl, Sue. Or, if not that, it may be, sorry, Sue, I'd love that hunk of pie, but I can't have it. The coach won't let me have it. Well, what's your response as a sprinter you now know yourself to be? For scarcely a second look at your pretty face, you turn to the finish line, 100 meters away. And you say, sorry, Sue, I'm a sprinter. I don't want that apple pie. That's simple. I can't have it. I don't want that pie. Life for me is crossing that finish line before anyone else. And what you have to offer doesn't fit in. As anyway. Oh, but you don't want it. What about me? No, Sue. You don't understand. There's something far deeper about me than that. I'm not just a mouth connected to a stomach. I'm not just a guy who gets turned on by girls. I'm a sprinter, Sue. That's who I am. That's living. There's nothing like it in the world. I'm going to win. Bang, the gun goes off. Off you go, Aaron. You win. Your friends, living a life that is separated from God is a life that is filled with God. We will have an impact on others around us, and we will not become more and more like the world.
Make everything done. Who else can?